Turkey's cost of living crisis continues to deepen. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. 69.9%. That is the annual rate of inflation in Turkey, according to fresh data released just this morning. Russia's war in Ukraine and the impact it's had on global energy supplies has exacerbated acute price pressures there. Excluding the volatile food and energy prices, inflation jumped 57% in April from a year ago. All of these numbers mean that buying basic essentials is becoming even harder there. Back in December, we met Tuba Kenapalat in Istanbul. Then inflation was about a third of what it is now, and the lira currency had shed nearly half its value. Back then, Tuba had put her career on hold to care for her newborn. Her family had to cut back on red meat purchases because they simply couldn't afford it. And she worried that she'd have to use diapers longer and buy fewer at a time. Now, with inflation continuing to spiral, Tuba's family finances have only become even more complicated.
Considering that we now have only one salary, we have fallen from middle class in the past to lower class now. There are thousands like us, so we are really struggling economically. If my husband used to work 10 hours in the past, now he has to work 15 hours. Plus, we have to leave the house now. The landlord is kicking us out of the house. Something like this started now. Landlords remove existing tenants and rent out the flats at higher rates.
How are you dealing with all of this? Because I know you were already planning to stay home for a little while longer, not planning to go back to work. But now that you don't have a job to go back to, how does that change the way that you think about, you know, the way that you manage the household finances?
Türkiye'de işte işsizlik maaşı dediğimiz şey, o da o kadar düşük bir rakam ki yani.
I receive what we call unemployment benefits in Turkey, but it is such a low number that it doesn't even meet my baby's monthly diaper needs. But I'm looking for small jobs that can be done online. But right now, it's not possible for us to live on a salary of 5,000 Turkish liras, while the rents are 3,000, 4,000 Turkish liras.
When we were there, you know, you talked about the things that you could no longer buy with inflation at 20%. How has that situation changed? Are there things that you just have to say, I can't afford it now?
For example, in diapers, we used to buy a better quality product, but now we try to buy a more affordable product. We try to change babies' diapers less often. The baby has started solid food now. I have to buy her fruit. For vegetable and fruit puree. My mother or my husband's mother sends us our food from our hometown. It's really hard if they don't send it. You go to the market for a week's shopping, maybe you buy 3-5 pieces of something and it costs 300-400 Turkish liras. We can't handle it. In fact, we survive thanks to the support of our family. At least they cover some of our expenses.
What is this like for you day to day, trying to budget and trying to plan? And how do you balance that and stay sort of, I feel like you're a little bit optimistic. Am I reading that right?
Zaten kötüye giden bir ekonomi var.
There's already a bad economy. In Turkish conditions, actually everyone is crying. Of course we complain, but on the other hand, we have to think positively to protect our psychology. We are raising a child. What happens if I yell at my husband or pout at him because I couldn't buy something, or he pouts at me? Then there will be no family left. Therefore, we have to look positively and smile.
Tuba Kenapalat in Istanbul, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Ben teşekkür ederim. Thank you very much.
Well, Turkey's lira currency is down about 0.7% against the U.S. dollar after that inflation data this morning. Checking some other numbers, European stock benchmarks are up in the 1-1.5% range at this hour. Shares of energy giant Shell jumped more than 3% before falling back slightly this morning. That's after it posted its highest ever quarterly profit, tripling last year's figures. That's due in large part to the surge in oil and gas prices as a result of Russia's Ukraine invasion. To Lithuania now, where gas has begun flowing through a new, more vital than ever, gas pipeline to Poland. The presidents of Poland, Lithuania, and Latvia are gathered outside Vilnius for a ribbon-cutting ceremony with the European Union's Energy Commissioner to officially open the 300-mile pipeline project today.
It's a great honor to announce gas connection Poland Lithuania Gipel went live. More than 500.
It comes just a week after Russia abruptly stopped supplying gas to Poland when the country refused to honor a Moscow deadline to pay for the supplies in rubles, the Russian currency. Romas Vilpishokis, a political science professor at Vilnius University, explains then how important this new pipeline is for energy stability in the region.
It should be seen together with other important regional projects, LNG terminal, which is situated in Lithuania on the Baltic Sea coast and which has been operational for about 7 years. Having in mind a history of Russian authorities using supplies of gas and oil for political purposes, the motivation of Lithuania, as well as other Baltic states, to gradually reduce their dependency on supplies from Russia was first of all, geopolitical, to reduce vulnerability.
Where are those supplies coming from? Where is it getting its gas supplies?
Various sources. Some LNG supplies are purchased from the United States. In the autumn, Poland is planning to complete so-called Baltic pipeline, which will allow to import Norwegian gas. This will be a significant new source.
Romas Vilpishokis in Lithuania for us. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
You're welcome.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.